stay tuned for Mystery Theater.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Most of us laugh off the existence of witches, today or ever, particularly today. Yet, even so casual a research source as the daily newspaper would provide us with knowledge that there are covens all over the country and the world, and that witchcraft is on the rise again. Of course, all of them, in their minds, are dedicated to good works, as the following tale will illustrate. Our mystery drama, The Witch's Almanac, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Virginia Payne and Robert Dryden. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Inside you're free after all. Yeah, freedom spirit. Like a wild bird's call.
It's vacation time. The city is disappearing in your rearview mirror. Just you, your family, and Buick LeSabre. A great family car. Comfortable, accommodating, economical. In fact, published EPA figures show a LeSabre with a 5.7-liter V8 got 16 miles per gallon in the highway test and 12 in the city test. Couple that with LeSabre's 26-gallon gas tank, and you can put a lot of highway behind you in a single tank. LeSabre, you're going to love it.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free. Living free.
Hey, ma'am, what's for dinner? Hey, ma'am, what you got?
Whether you're eating in or cooking out, ShopRite's got the answer. Save on ShopRite smoked ham. Shank portion just 79 cents a pound. Butt portion 89 a pound. First cut chuck steak 69 a pound. Semi-boneless chuck roast $1.09 a pound. Large fresh pineapples 49 cents each. Philadelphia brand cream cheese 8-ounce package 39 cents. The ShopRite bag. It's a lot of savings. There's a ShopRite near you, so stop in soon.
She does all that she can do. She lets ShopRite do the rest. Hey, ma, what's for dinner? ShopRite has the answer.
I have in my hand a curious little book called The Witch's Almanac. I'm looking at a page which contains a recipe for a witch's broth. Rendered eye of newt, pressed gall of goat, extract of lizard's liver, garnish with fur of bat and minced tail of a poisoned rat. Boil in alcohol and lace with the blood of one virgin. Ludicrous or horrifying? The date of the book is 17th century. But witches still live, believe it or not, and are busy casting spells.
Well, that's the last of them.
And just on time. Huh, it's the witching hour. Here you are. 23, 24. And all is silence. 12 midnight on the nose.
What are you up to?
Oh, just checking over tonight's sales while I wait for the kettle to boil. We gotta have our own special toddy before we go to bed.
Oh, I'd have made that. I always do.
All right, lovey. I got to get a particularly good night's sleep tonight.
Why, hon?
It's gonna be a real busy day tomorrow.
Oh?
Now we've got most of the supplies in, I've got to start on a brand new batch of the elixir first thing tomorrow. At least get to preparing the mash.
Mm.
We did land office business tonight. Pretty near cleaned us out.
Was it that good?
All we're going to be able to do to meet the demand. Only one that's troubled me is that Connecticut crowd. They're real backsliders.
Oh, who needs them? We get more and more from Staten Island and New Jersey.
Oh, it's the bat fur, Mother. Connecticut's our best source for it.
Hmm. I sometimes think I'm not a very good witch. You know, I've never really seen a bat that I remember.
Well, I've often wondered if we couldn't substitute mice, but I don't know.
Oh, no. You got a good receipt. Don't make any changes. I learned that from my mother.
Well, maybe so. She was a fine witch in her own right. I'm proud of her and her heritage.
Yeah, no more than I am of yours.
Yeah, there's the kettle. You get the toddy made. I need a good rest. A lot of work tomorrow. I sure hope we find a nice young boarder.
Read me the ad again, darling.
Elderly couple in choice location, Brooklyn Heights, wishes to replace last boarder who was like a daughter.
Oh, yes.
Desire a nice young girl of quiet habits and religious persuasion. Denomination no object. Lovely sunny room, full kitchen privileges, right, box 13, etc., etc.
Here's your toddy.
Oh.
Which of the answers did you like best?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. We'll find out tomorrow.
It's a pity we just can't come right out and ask the question directly. I just hope we don't make another awful mistake the way we did with the Godfrey girl. I'd have sworn that she was as untouched as a lily.
Not only untouched, but what'd she finally have? Quadruplets, wasn't it?
Well, triplets, actually. One of them died before it was born. Jason?
What? Oh.
Land sakes, what a racket. It's Sunday.
It won't bother the neighbors. I waited till they got off to church or mass.
Oh, don't say words like that in front of me. You know I don't like that kind of language.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just slipped out. Well, that's what they call it.
The way other people talk and think is their way of life. It doesn't affect us. Except in a business way, of course. That's what brought me out to the forge. It's about time for the, you know what, to be arriving.
Yeah, well, I'll just finish off this andiron here and be right with you.
Did you start up the still?
There's no point till we get the blood. But the mash is all ready for it to be added.
Suppose we don't find the right girl.
Oh, we'll find her sooner or later. Why don't you get on back and maybe start some weeding out? You're the one with the eye for them. And I got to finish these here andirons. And then I got two sets of fire tools and a weather vane I got to get out. And the stable needs some new horseshoes. Jangle the old bell there 3 times. If you think you have a live one, I'll come right over.
You know I like to have you with me.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. At least give me till after midday mass. till the midday services are over. And I'll be over by 1. Looks like the first of our hoped-for maidens has arrived.
Won't you just come right in, my dear? I'm Mrs. Warlock.
And I'm Kathy Pryor. I hope I'm not late.
Oh, no. As you can hear, right on time. 1 o'clock, as we agreed on the phone.
What a lovely old clock. But doesn't it stop striking?
Well, it's very old. It was left to me by my father.
How strange. It has 24 numbers instead of just 12. Just like the Army.
The Army?
Well, my father was a captain. He died in Vietnam.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It was at the beginning of the war, I mean. Oh, now I see. 1 o'clock is 1,300 hours, like Dad would say, just like your clock.
Yes. For 1 p.m., it strikes 13.
How unusual.
Come now, I'll show you the room. It's upstairs. And as we go, you must tell me about yourself. You're very young.
Yes, I guess so. 18. Not so young these days, but...
But?
Well, after Father was killed, Mother was... Well, she wasn't very well, so since I was the only child, I had to take care of her until she died recently. I've lived a kind of sheltered life.
It's that door over there. Here in the city?
Oh, no, I'm from a little town in Ohio. You wouldn't even know the name of it.
Do you have more family?
No, I'm the last of the Pryors. Oh, how lovely. And the sun streaming in the window. All chintz. Dotted Swiss curtains. A big four-poster bed, just like home.
There, Kathy. I'm just going to call you that. Maybe you found a new home here.
Oh, I just love all of it. Well, what does your husband do?
He's a forger.
A what?
Oh, I'm just teasing you. Although he really is, that's the name for it. Here, come to the window. You see our other building in the backyard?
Yes, with the smoke coming out of the chimney.
Oh, it won't bother you. We have a fan that blows it off toward the river and away from the house. That's Jason Smithy. He's an iron worker. And still, occasionally, a blacksmith.
How fascinating.
Ah, there's my husband, Jason, coming now. Tell you what, dear, you look about, and I'll go down and bring him up to meet you. Pretty as a picture, and I'm certain quite perfect for our purpose.
You sure she's a virgin?
Well, I can tell you one thing. None of the others were. You could tell that at a glance. That's why I didn't ring the bell.
Let's hope this one does. Ring the bell, I mean. Of course, by tonight, I can tell for sure when I get a blood sample. Any more coming?
No, this was the last.
Oh, honeybee, weren't we lucky. Mm-hmm. You see, Satan smiles on us. Come on, let's go upstairs and see if we can't seal the pact.
Oh, no, Mr. and Mrs. Warlock. I do love it here. Especially being able to see a little of the water in the bridge. But...
But what, my dear?
Well, I'm sort of embarrassed. You see, I had no idea how expensive New York would be or how hard it would be to find a job. I have so little money left now. And you've been so sweet. I just hate to take advantage of you. Because the way things are, I'm not even sure I can afford to stay a whole month.
What sort of work do you do, Miss Pryor?
Well, back home. Because I couldn't leave Mama alone too much, you see. I did part-time work for Mr. Jeffrey at his hardware store. See, we lived right over it. A lot of the typing and bookkeeping I could do at home with Mama.
You can type and keep books?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Take dictation and file. You know, anything a secretary has to do.
Hmm.
I took a secretarial course after I finished high school.
Land sakes, if you aren't the one. Didn't give you much chance to see much of the boys, did it?
No, but that's all right. I'm not ready to be married yet, and I wouldn't want to date too much till I am. Boys today take, well, a lot too much for granted. And I don't know how to handle that.
Why, Godfrey, if I had a daughter, I'd want... No, sir, we're not going to let you get away from us. Tell you what, make your proposition. You be my secretary, straighten out my accounts for a half a day in exchange for room and board here. The rest of the days you can spend looking for a job in New York.
Oh, Mr. Warlock, that's too much. I couldn't.
Oh, of course you could, Kathy, dear. We want you to.
I only want one promise from you in return.
What's that?
That till you find that Mr. Wright, you'll keep on making this your home.
Oh, you're wonderful. Of course I want to, but...
No, that's the end of buts. You're going to come with me. We'll drive over to New York to your hotel, pick up your stuff, and by the time we get back, Mother here will have a good home-cooked meal that'll not only melt in your mouth, but tell you better than any words, you found a new home.
We had coffee after dinner. I just can't keep my eyes open.
Now, what you need is a good night's sleep. Good night now, dear. And sweet dreams.
Good night, both of you. You're absolute loves, and I know I'm going to sleep like the dead.
Well, she asleep yet?
I just peeped in. She's asleep, but tossing and turning and moaning a little.
Oh, dear me. I suppose I didn't use quite enough of the sleeping draft. I Didn't want to risk too much till I found out how well she tolerated it.
Oh, yes, quite right, dear. You remember it did make the Elliott girl very sick.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Well, then I suppose we'll just have to use the gas.
Will you walk into my parlor? Said a spider to a fly. It's the prettiest little parlor that ever you did spy. Well, we all know what happened to the trusting fly. But Kathy, what is in store for her? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Your Chrysler Plymouth dealer would like to announce some good news. Chrysler is back with a rebate. And here's some more good news. Your Chrysler Plymouth dealer not only has a great new rebate, he's also got the cars that are number one in most of the things you want most in a compact. Take gas mileage. According to the EPA's buyer guide, Duster and Valiant 6s got better gas mileage than the most popular 6s offered by Chrysler's major competitors. And room? Well, according to Automotive Industry's Roominess Index, Valiant 4-doors are the roomiest in their class. And now, for a limited time only, buy or lease any 75 Valiant, Duster, or Scamp, and Chrysler will give you $200 back. And that's after you've made your best deal with your dealer. But an offer this good has to be limited to cars in stock, retail customers only, at participating Chrysler Plymouth dealers. So for a great rebate, plus a great deal on his entire lineup of fine cars, see your Chrysler Plymouth dealer today.
Most appetizers you eat, but there's one appetizer you drink, Dubonnet.
Before that's time to say, I'll have a glass of Dubonnet before a meal by day or night. Dubonnet is always right before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Think of Dubonnet as an appetizer, a wine you drink before meals, before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's right for your appetite. Whether you serve it straight, on the rocks with a twist or soda, the distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course.
Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Jason and Sarah Warlock were born, brought up, and married in Brooklyn Heights. Their home, a leftover gem in an overgrown city, at the end of a quiet, dead-end street. No neighbors save small manufacturers and warehouses on the street, for the Warlock house was originally a stable, a quiet place for quiet people who lived a quiet life, unsuspected and unholy.
Is she all right?
Fine. Sound asleep. Had better close the window now. The gas is all gone.
Yes, Jason. It's closed.
Put the rubber tourniquet on her arm now.
There.
Not too tight.
Oh, I wouldn't hurt her for the world. This is the only part I never feel quite right about.
Now, she won't feel a thing. And think of how much she's going to do for so many of our finest. Our youth and strength and vitality is going to spread among our faithful. Hush, hush, little one. That's all. By tomorrow, you'll never know what our coven owes you and will owe you in the vast unwinding of eternity. Sleep well, pretty. Sarah.
Yes, Jason.
If she's all she seems to be, she may turn the key in the door for all of us for everlasting life.
Breakfast just about ready, Jason. How were the tests?
Where is our Vestal Virgin?
Still asleep. Then the tests were...
As pure as any alchemist can devise.
Oh.
I've already added what was needed to the mash and started the distillery. This will be the most powerful batch of Panpharmacon Vitae I have ever concocted.
You should raise the price.
Oh, hush, woman. This is the devil's work. Would he or I seek to profit by it?
Scrambled or straight up?
Scrambled this morning, with perhaps just a lacing of the elixir.
Shh. I think she's coming downstairs.
Yeah, you're right. Put some more eggs on for her. She may feel the need of a little extra protein this morning. I'll serve the juice. Well, good morning, Kathy. Sleep well?
Oh, yes, Mr. Warlock. Except for...
For what, dear?
It's silly. Somewhere in the middle of the night, I thought I felt a pain in my arm as if something had bitten me.
Oh, let me see. Oh, yes. There is a little bit of a mark there. Well, there's nothing to worry about. Sometimes the wind blows a Jersey mosquito away. I'll fix that in no time.
Oh, please don't worry, Mr. Warlock.
No. I want your stay here to be a completely happy one. And please, not Mr. Warlock. Can't we make it, say, Uncle Jason?
And Aunt Sarah.
I mean, we really feel, Mother and I, that we're virtually blood relations already.
Of course, if you want.
No, only if you want.
Of course I do. You're both the sweetest people I know. Uncle Jason and Aunt Sarah.
Now that's settled, Kathy. And how do you like your eggs?
Oh, just any way that you want.
Any other morning, but today is special.
Then, can I have them fried and once over lightly?
Yeah, how about some orange juice?
I'd love it. But let me tend to myself. I know you're busy already this morning, Uncle Jason.
What?
Well, I see from my window that the chimney is smoking away. What wonderful thing are you creating this morning?
Just some horseshoes for a stable near Prospect Park.
Well, don't let me keep you.
Why, child, I just came in to have breakfast myself. We'll all have it together.
Good. Then right after breakfast, I'll come over to the forge and start helping get things in order.
Oh, no. But you see, I think that this morning I'm so busy with the forge and so on. Why don't you take today off and go over to New York and start hunting for that job you hope to find?
But I promised I'd get you straightened out. Oh, my goodness, I forgot.
Forgot what, dear?
In all the excitement, I forgot I have a luncheon appointment and I can't cancel it.
About a job?
Oh, no. It's just an old friend of my mother's. You know, I wrote him after she died to tell him. Just like I wrote all the people in her address book. And then when I came to New York, I called him at his office, but he was out of town. I suppose his secretary must have given him the message, because she called me back with a lunch invitation for today.
You want to cancel it?
I can't. His office is closed on Mondays, so I have no way of reaching him. And I'd hate to put the old gentleman out.
Old gentleman?
Well, he was once a beau of my mother's. And then when she married Dad, he moved to New York. He was quite old even then, I guess.
Oh, well, then it's all settled. You can whisk off to New York in the subway, Kathy. And I'll get after this old reprobate here to get his papers together so you can put them in order. Meanwhile, I'm going to have Jason put up a screen on your window, just in case any of those mosquitoes come your way again.
Oh, I don't want to be a bother.
Bother? My dear little girl, you don't know how happy we are to have you with us.
Yes, mademoiselle, may I help you?
Yes, I'm having lunch with a Mr. Patrick Trent. I don't know if he's here yet.
No, not yet, but let me take you to his table. This way, mademoiselle. Henri, a chair for the lady.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, pardon, mademoiselle. Monsieur Trent just arrived.
That's Mr. Trent?
Yes. Excuse me?
Miss Pryor?
Yes, Mr. Patrick Trent?
Junior. I guess not that anymore. My father died in Florida 4 days ago. I just came back from his funeral.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What can I say?
Oh, please don't. Mind if I sit?
Of course not.
Dad was... He knew it was coming. Not so soon, of course. And he, well, he wasn't all that young. But he was meticulous about everything. And he told me he had this appointment with you. So I'm trying to fulfill all his promises and round things off. Can I order us a drink before lunch?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a drinker. I wouldn't know what to order.
Well, why not leave that to me? I'll take it easy. But we really ought to celebrate. Or at least me. You know, in a period of absolute despair, suddenly you were there, one bright, shining light through the murk. So, in the lowest period of my life, I walk into my father's favorite restaurant, and instead of a nice, aging old lady, I find you.
Well, I was looking for a nice, kindly old father figure.
Sorry, I can't fill the bill.
Well, that's all right. I found another one.
Who?
Oh, that isn't important for the moment. You know, I feel a little woozy. Shouldn't we order something to eat?
Sarah, hey, what are you doing here? You scared me.
How's our life force coming?
Never better. Forge still burning outside?
Oh, yes.
Have to watch that. It's our excuse for this other and more important work of ours.
Oh, of course, Father dear.
You know I don't like you coming through the secret door by daytime. What is it?
I've had quite a few calls. The Bronx, Queens, and Mascot can recycle bottles for us if we pick them up. Oh, and you better stop by Mrs. Fernglass right here in Columbia Heights.
Fine. I can leave this cooking for the rest of the day and take the panel truck to pick them up. We need them. Did our little pigeon and our Kathy come back?
No, not yet. Why? Are you worried?
Oh, no, not worried. Concerned. Purest blood we ever had. Oh, I wouldn't want to lose her for any reason whatsoever.
So, now you've seen the lady herself, the Statue of Liberty. Feel any more unfettered and free?
I guess I would if I didn't feel so guilty.
Well, what do you have to feel guilty about?
Well, I should have been looking for a job.
Well, you told me you kind of have one.
Oh, that's just part-time. And also, I...
Yeah?
I feel a little woozy from whatever you talked me into drinking before lunch.
A daiquiri?
And we just had a bottle of beer. You know, I think I'm a little half seasick.
No, couldn't be. We're just coming into the slip. So it has to be nothing. Or all.
What did you mean there on the boat? Or all?
Oh, it's just a feeling I have about us. Come on, let's get the subway for Brooklyn.
You don't have to take me home. I can manage.
I know, but I have to go to work. I'm not a lawyer like my dad. Just a reporter. Lowly police precinct duty at that. Come on, we both have to get off at the same station. Clark Street, right?
Well, that's my stop. But for you?
Before I get there, I get your phone number and address, I hope, for future reference. Then I go to work.
Hey, Pat, what do you say, boy? How's the world treating you?
Oh, great, Sergeant. I just met a girl.
Do they make them anymore? I thought they threw away the old mold when they created Mez.
You better believe this one is no mess. She's Miss all the way, Jim.
Well, she sure seems to have made a hit with you.
Oh, bullseye. I'm kind of late, Sarge, so before I have my editor on my tail, what's new on the blotter?
Well, you didn't miss a thing. Just the usual. Woman receiving obscene phone calls, 3 minor muggings. Nobody hurt, thank heavens. An old booze hound overdid it and kicked off from alcohol poisoning. All the run-of-the-mill stuff, not worth a slug of type. Oh, just one social note, you might say.
What's that, Sarge?
I'm not a sergeant anymore, buddy. You're talking to a lieutenant.
Hey, Jim, that's great. Now, we got to find you a headline case to bust wide open.
That the last case?
Yeah. It's not even half full.
Did you go by Mrs. Fernglass?
Right on by.
Hmm?
There were cops and an ambulance there. One of the neighbors told me they found her dead.
Oh, the poor old thing. She must not have been taking the elixir.
Well, the devil take her. He must have wanted her home.
Yes.
Sure wish I'd gotten the bottles first, though. We're getting awful low.
It's a shame how careless people are.
So are we.
What?
You left the door open and Kathy's caught us.
I hope I'm not butting in. There was no one in the house, so I...
Oh, that's all right, Kathy. No secrets here.
I never realized you had a room behind the forge. Oh, what lovely old bottles. What are they for?
Oh, they, they're just decorative.
Yes. For windows and bottle glass door panels.
What a wonderful idea. And what's that thing that's bubbling away there?
Oh, that, well, that makes the grout, you see. You know, the cement that holds the bottles together after they're cut.
Well, how do you cut them?
That's my secret. How is your day and your luncheon?
Now, Jason, that's Kathy's secret.
Well, I was just interested, that's all.
Then why shouldn't you know? I'm dying to tell you about it.
Well, why don't you go in the house and freshen up for dinner? We'll be having it soon. And you can tell us all about it then.
All right. But someday soon, I want to watch you making one of those windows.
You think Kathy suspected anything?
I doubt it. I hope not.
I hope not, too. But if she does, she'll have to go. Just like Vera Blyden. You know that, dear.
I know. Satan's work must be done.
Mm. And nothing or no one can stand in the way.
Double, double, toil and trouble. Fire burn and cauldron bubble. The ingredients are gathered and the witch's broth is fermenting. Panpharmacon vitae, the elixir of life. They all believe they must drink. Has Kathy learned too much to be safe? And who is there to protect her if she has? I'll return shortly with Act 3.
There's a happy sound around New York these nights. That sound is the music of Cy Oliver and his orchestra playing for dancing at the famous Rainbow Room, high atop Rockefeller Center on the 65th floor. The new policy at this beautiful restaurant combines dining and dancing in what has to be the best entertainment value in New York. There's an a la carte dinner and after theater menu that's prepared and served with Rainbow Room style and quality, but most reasonably priced. And the Rainbow Room has no cover or music charge, just an easy $10 minimum per person, which applies to food and drink. It's the most beautiful room in New York with the most spectacular view of the city. Call the Rainbow Room for reservations at 212-PL7-9090. That's area code 212-PL7-9090. And give yourself a memorable evening. Across the hall at the Rainbow Grill, two generations of Brubecks featuring Dave Brubeck and the Darius Brubeck Ensemble perform for you twice nightly through May 31st.
There is nothing more inexplicable than an obsession. Otherwise charming and sensible people can do the most outlandish things in the name of some irrational belief. And the terrible danger of witchcraft is that it is a hidden belief, secret and unknown. In their wildest dreams, no one who knew that dear old couple, the Warlocks, could have suspected the havoc they are capable of. Least of all, Kathy, as she prattles away about her day in town with her newfound aunt and uncle.
Now, you're sure you won't have some more cherry cobbler, Kathy?
Oh, no, thanks. It was yummy, but I couldn't hold another thing.
Tell me, dear, are you going to see this young man of yours again?
I don't know. He did take my address and phone number before he went to the police station.
The police station?
Yes. He's a reporter for the Brooklyn Journal.
Oh.
I would be a little careful of those reporters. They're a wild lot, they say.
Oh, not Pat. He's very kind and quiet and thoughtful.
Still, the ones that work the police beat get pretty hardened by the things they see.
Yes.
I'd be very careful about a young fellow like that.
Why, you two dears. You're protecting me like I was your own flesh and blood.
Yeah, so you are. Now we got you.
Come.
I couldn't wait to show off your new office, huh, Lieutenant? What, you had to call me?
Forget it, Pat. This is strictly business. I have a story for you. I'd like you to get it on the front page of tomorrow's paper.
Oh, Brother Jim, you're not asking much. I don't think I can beat the deadline.
Let me talk first. Ever see anything like this?
No. Old-fashioned bottle. Strange shape.
Read the label.
Panpharmacon Vitae. What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you got the college education, Pat. You tell me.
Well, it's gobbledygook. I mean, it's part half-baked Greek, half Latin. Roughly, oh, I guess you'd say all the medicine of life. Or like maybe all the drugs you need to sustain life. What is it, some kind of patent medicine?
Unlicensed. I sent the rest of the bottles to Food and Drug to have them analyzed. But meantime, all I need is my nose to tell me what it's mostly made of. Smell it.
Phew, smoke, right, Jim?
Loaded with wood alcohol, I guess. Alcohol, anyways.
Where'd you get this?
Remember I mentioned earlier today some old booze hound got knocked off from alcohol poisoning?
No, not particularly. Oh, yeah, I guess.
Well, she was poisoned, all right. But she wasn't any booze hound. When we followed up on the story, we found she was a Mrs. Fernglass, local librarian, very well respected, but very quiet and kept very much to herself. And we found a whole case of this gook, most of the bottles empty. Some lousy con talked an old lady afraid of dying into buying her own death. And I won him.
Now, how do I help?
First of all, get me a story in the papers so anyone else who has this stuff doesn't also knock themselves off. Build it up so maybe we can get someone who bought it to tell why, how, and where. There's no instruction on this label. It's homemade. Now, whoever makes or sells this stuff is a ghoul.
Paper come, Sarah?
Just brought it in. Here you are, dearie.
Thank you, sweetheart. Hey. By God.
Jason, you're swearing.
Never mind that. Come out to the forge with me.
But I'm getting breakfast and candy.
Do as I say. Come on.
Yes, but Jason, I never heard you.
Don't talk. Just follow me.
Morning, Aunt Sarah, Uncle Jason.
They're gone. Uncle Jason? You must be out in the forge. Maybe it's for me. Hello?
Kenny?
Yes? Pat?
True Blue.
Oh, I thought you weren't going to call me when you didn't call last night. Oh,
I'm sorry. I got tied up with a big story. But forget that for the moment. When do I see you again? Tonight?
Well, yes. Matter of fact, how'd you like to come and meet these two gorgeous old people who are taking such good care of me?
No wonder the police were at Mrs. Fernglass's yesterday.
Oh, poor old thing. If she had only been taking the Pan-Pharmacon.
She took too much. You know, I always warn everyone against that.
Mm.
Now this witch hunt is on. I may have to get rid of all the bottles I filled.
But why, dear? We're not doing any wrong.
Yeah, we know that, but the rest of them, they outside, the unbelievers, they'll want to persecute us.
But how can they find us? Nobody in the coven will come forward.
No, but Kathy might. It's a chance we can't afford to take. She's got to disappear.
Oh. Oh, do we have to, Jason, darling? She doesn't have to see the paper.
It's on every newsstand with that big headline. How can she miss it?
Well, we'll just have to keep her home.
It's dangerous. I'd have to be sure there was some way she'd never get wind of this story.
What are you doing here, Jason?
I had to come, Dr. Callius. I have a problem.
I can't treat you in today. I'm booked solidly.
Not a psychiatric problem. This affects you directly as High Priest of the Coven. There's somebody I'm afraid will have to be removed.
Oh, I don't see how it could happen so suddenly. Hit me right after breakfast.
No, dear. Just let me make you comfortable in bed. And
I want to see a doctor.
Hush, hush, baby. Oh. Jason has gone to see about one for you right now. You just try to drink this nice medicine I made for you. It'll settle your stomach.
All right, Jason. That will do the job, all right. Just inject it in the vein. If you feel it has to be done.
I don't want to hurt the poor child. Besides, she was such a perfect subject. But we must protect the coven at all times.
By Ashtaroth, yes. But how can you dispose of the...
The body? Oh, for a smithy, that doesn't present any problems. Or a witch. Isn't cremation what we all want afterwards?
Jason?
Yeah, it's me. Where's the girl?
Upstairs, sound asleep. I gave her something in this glass as well as the small dose of arsenic.
When the young man calls, we'll tell him she suddenly left.
And if he doesn't believe us?
Well, what can he do? We open no doors and he can't break his way in. Now, as soon as it's dark, I'll do what has to be done, and by midnight there'll be nothing left of our poor little girl but ashes.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, dear.
Pat Trent speaking. Who? Oh, yeah, put her on. Hi, Kathy. What? The story? Oh, look, I told you, All right. It was just an old lady who was buying some kind of phony patent medicine that killed her. It was loaded with alcohol and had... Huh? What shape was the bottle? Well, it was old-fashioned, sort of octagonal and... What? Look, honey, I'm at work. I can't just walk out on... No. No, wait a minute, Kathy. Wait a minute. Kathy? Kathy? Damn. Is she crazy or something?
Kathy's still asleep?
Yes.
I'd better answer that. Hello? Oh, yes, Mr. Dredd. Oh, well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but Kathy walked out on us this morning. No, she's gone. No forwarding address. Well, I'm sorry. I really don't want to discuss it. She left without paying her rent.
Jim, you've got to help me.
You say you went to the house and no one asked.
Yeah, but I am sure someone was there. Jim, this kid's in danger.
Well, what can I do, Pat? I can't enter a search without a warrant.
So how do we get one?
I don't know. Wait a minute. You want to square out a complaint against Kathy Pryor?
For what?
Stealing your wallet will do.
Oh, if that will get us in, you got it.
Open up. This is the police. Open up or we're coming in.
Oh, dear me, what is it?
I'm looking for Kathy Pryor, charged robbery.
Well, she's not here. She left.
I have a search warrant here. Open up and I'll decide for myself.
Police, help!
Okay, that does it. Open up or do you want me to kick the door in?
It was all just too much. I never get sick or sleep that heavy. I couldn't face that last drink, so I poured it down the sink and just lay there pretending to be asleep. Lying there, a lot of little funny things started to add up. And then, when I heard what they planned...
Hey, take it easy, Kathy. You're okay from here in.
But I thought they were so sweet. But they're ghouls. Absolute ghouls.
You're right, Miss Pryor. But they don't think so. They think they're right. But don't worry. We have enough on them and the doctor to put them away for a long time.
They confessed?
We bore down a bit on the old man, and the old lady came to his defense like a tiger. She blurted enough of it out for us to get the rest.
But what's the matter with them?
They're witches, Miss Pryor. And in their world, that means they're good. That's the way they feel. I'll tell you how I feel. To hell with them.
To which I can only add, from ghoulies and ghosties and long-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night, good Lord, deliver us. As he did, Kathy Pryor. I'll be back shortly.
This week in New York Magazine, there's a special pullout on how to get into sky sailing, the exciting sport where you fly by yourself attached to a kite. We're New York Magazine. Fly us.
Pride. The touchstone to quality in any automobile. The very cornerstone of a new automobile. Cordova. Cordova, the new small Chrysler. Smaller but much endowed, with great beauty and great comfort. In Cordova, you will find the warmth of deep, soft carpeting, the harmony of a finely detailed instrument panel, and the thickly cushioned luxury of contour seats available in rich, crushed velour or fine Corinthian leather. Smaller, yes, but so very elegant. Smaller, but so very luxurious, and yet surprisingly affordable. Cordova is engineered with great pride to be a Chrysler. Cordova, the new small Chrysler.
Sarah and Jason were put away for life, and all existing bottles of Panpharmacon Vitae were located and destroyed, and the coven dispersed. Incidentally, the analysis by the FDA confirmed a small quantity of blood in each bottle. Human blood. And, of course, alcohol. Other ingredients defied analysis. Kathy, who married Pat, sleeps deeper but more tranquilly these nights. The coven was broken up, but it's only one of many. And witches are still abroad. Always be on your guard. Our cast included Virginia Payne, Robert Dryden, Jada Rowland, Marshall Borden, and Dan Acco. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The preceding program is furnished by the Columbia Broadcasting System. This is WOR New York.
I'm Fulton Lewis in the Mutual Broadcasting System studios in Washington, D.C. Now, my commentary.
In the wake of the communist takeover of Indochina, an understandable depression set in within our own country. After all, historians would record this as the first major military defeat ever suffered by the United States. They'll say that we had the muscle but not the will to prevail in Southeast Asia. Communist persistence paid off. Those concerned with our own national security and U.S. allies around the world concerned with their own national securities had legitimate reason to worry. The communists would no doubt walk away from their sudden conquests in Cambodia, South Vietnam, and for all intents and purposes, Laos. They'd walk away with a swelled head, new confidence that they could prevail, perhaps even sooner than they had ever anticipated, prevail in their overall war against the decadent capitalists. They would be tempted to test both their lucky streak and what seemed to them to be the new losing streak of the United States. It was probably just such a temptation which lured the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia into what turned out to be a very poorly calculated move, the seizure of the U.S. merchant ship Mayaguez on the international waters of the Gulf of Siam exactly 2 weeks ago. That, it turned out, was a disaster for the communists. It turned out also to be a stroke of great fortune for us. President Ford had been offered an opportunity, which he promptly took, an opportunity to strike hard, showing in effect that the old dog may have looked asleep, but was still capable of not only barking and growling, but when need be, of even biting. Most Americans, when they awoke that morning of Thursday, May 8th, to learn that the United States Marines had recovered both the Mayaguez and its 39-member crew, no doubt shared the feeling of Vice President Rockefeller, who opened that morning's U.S. Senate procedures with the line, "I'm proud to be an American." A lot of nations around the world who looked to us for help in defending their borders against possible communist aggression were no doubt equally proud of us and equally relieved. Almost overnight, international credibility in United States strength was restored. By last Monday, Defense Secretary Schlesinger was voicing that strength and determination in bolder language than the world has heard from Washington in many, many years. In the wake of U.S. losses in Indochina, Schlesinger said, the communists might now be tempted to launch new assaults against South Korea and possibly even Taiwan. In an interview published in U.S. News and World Report, Schlesinger issued a warning against the communist North Koreans, declaring, quote, "I think they would have to conclude that the United States would take more vigorous action than we were inclined to take during much of the Vietnamese War. The main point, he said, is that a conflict that extends for 10 years or even over many years, as Vietnam did, is bound to lose the support of the American people. Therefore, action must be more vigorous at the outset, particularly where American forces are involved. In a line which could well have been borrowed from the late General Douglas MacArthur, Defense Secretary Schlesinger last week left no doubt that North Korean aggression would be severely punished by the United States. He said, quote, "One of the lessons of the Vietnamese conflict is that rather than simply countering your opponent's thrusts, it is necessary to go for the heart of the opponent's power, destroy his military forces rather than simply being involved endlessly in ancillary military operations." That line was misinterpreted promptly by communist North Korean leaders as a suggestion that the United States was intending to use nuclear weapons in the event of a new Korean War. But, and this may be significant, but neither the Pentagon nor the State Department went to any great lengths to correct that misinterpretation. White House insiders say that President Ford was not really concerned over the fact that the North Koreans might be concerned. As long as they knew that the dog would bite back, no useful purpose would be served in explaining just how hard the bite might be. Turning to other subjects, Schlesinger seemed to be equally tough, equally outspoken. He added that the leftist takeover of Portugal might result in that nation's expulsion from NATO, the defense secretary explaining, "The United States cannot provide its most intimate plans and secrets in NATO planning meetings when there are communists present." The reopening of the Suez Canal, Schlesinger warned, is going to speed expansion of the Soviet presence in the Indian Ocean, and we will have to offset any expansion of Soviet military or naval capacity in the Persian Gulf. He said if the Arabs impose another oil embargo against the United States will be, in Schlesinger's words, less likely to be tolerant than we were in 1973. He added, there are economic, political, or conceivably military measures in response. With those strong words echoing in the ears of allies and adversaries alike around the world, Secretary of State Kissinger last week left for private talks with Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko. Kissinger was clearly pleased over the fact that his negotiating hand had been greatly strengthened by Maya Gez. His fear had been that the Soviets, sensing American weakness in the wake of Indochina, would attempt to bully us around on some of the issues under discussion, most particularly the questions of the Middle East and nuclear disarmament. Some concessions were made regarding that second issue, but nothing too significant. On the Arab-Israeli dispute, Kissinger stood firm. The United States, he said, would not recognize the Palestinian Liberation Organization or tolerate its participation in the upcoming Geneva talks until and unless the Soviet Union recognized Israel. Gromyko reluctantly agreed, and the PLO is not going to be seated in Geneva. On the home front, President Ford began reaping the benefits of his newly achieved prestige and popularity. Like David, he took on the Democrat Goliath on Capitol Hill with renewed vigor, renewed enthusiasm. He chided the Democrats for their inaction on energy legislation and declared his intention to impose another $1 per barrel tax on imported oil beginning June 1st, unless the Congress before then presents him with an acceptable energy bill. The Democrats, in a state of complete disarray, admitted that they would be unable to get the House of Representatives to act on an energy bill until mid-June at the earliest. Even then, the House of Representatives would be acting on the legislative monstrosity that was produced by Chairman Al Ullman's Ways and Means Committee. That is a bill that would increase the cost of gasoline to the American consumer by a whopping 23 cents per gallon. Already more than 100 potential floor amendments to that bill have been introduced, and most political pros predict that it could take the rest of this year to achieve congressional approval of the Ullman bill. And then, of course, the Ullman bill would probably face a presidential veto. Last week, the president seemed to be starting to flex his veto muscles once again. He said no to the strip mining bill, which the Congress tried to force down his throat for the second time in less than a year. That legislation, the president explained, would mean job losses for as many as 36,000 Americans. It would force consumers to pay higher electric bills. It would make the nation more dependent upon foreign oil and would, to boot, unnecessarily reduce domestic coal production. Those arguments seem very persuasive, or at least persuasive enough to convince Democrat leaders on Capitol Hill to delay their veto override attempt in the House until June 10th. That despite the fact that the House of Representatives had okayed the legislation originally by a 293-115 margin, the supporters having three votes more than the 290 votes needed to override a presidential veto. Those three votes and more have disappeared, though. Disappeared as congressional Republicans have started to rally behind the president as the president's public stock has started to rise. Democrat congressional leaders, in the meantime, have grown concerned over the fact that their public stock is in the midst of a nosedive. Despite their 2-to-1 grasp on the nation's legislative machinery, they have been so divided that the radical 94th Congress is rapidly becoming known as the Do-Nothing Congress. There is no excuse, for example, for the 4-month delay in producing an energy bill. Beyond that, the legislative package, which is going to be produced, Democrats fear, is going to be so unpopular it's going to be embarrassing. The Senate, believe it or not, has yet to resolve the dispute regarding last November's New Hampshire senatorial contest, the result being that the state of New Hampshire has had only one senator since the 94th Congress started back in January. Back when President Ford went to the Congress asking for action within 9 days on emergency legislation authorizing U.S. military aid to Cambodia and South Vietnam, Washington comedian Mark Russell quipped, "The only thing this Congress could do in 9 days is to make minute rice." It may be a funny line, but it's not so funny when you stop to think of what the congressional foot-dragging has been costing this nation at a time when Americans have every right, every reason to expect speedy action on scores of crises that are confronting our nation. They have gotten virtually nothing from the Democrat-controlled Congress. The folks back home are getting madder, and Democrat leaders, sensing that fact from their mail, are getting increasingly concerned. When action has come in this Congress, its wisdom has been suspect. Last week, for example, House Republicans tried in vain to undo the House Administration Committee's outrageous $10 million raise in members' staff and other allowances. The Republican attempt failed, though, 262-148, after more than 1 hour of floor debate. Decisions of the committee, chaired by Ohio Democrat Representative Wayne Hayes, are not subject to floor votes, but Republicans took advantage of the annual legislative appropriation bill, which provides financing for all of the activities of the Congress. They took advantage of it to challenge the actions that the committee took last Tuesday. From the Mutual Studios in Washington, I'm Fulton Lewis, and that's the top of the news as it looks from here.